Well, good morning, guys. How's everybody today? Dennis, I see your smiling face. Well, this morning we're going to continue in this wonderful book that Randy Alcorn had written some time ago. And we're going to be looking at section 12 today, which is titled, What Will We Do in Heaven? And this section consists of four chapters. We're only going to look at three of the four. And that's frankly enough. I could look at one, there would be plenty. So we're going to look at chapter 41, Will Heaven Ever Be Boring? Chapter 42, Will There Be Arts, Entertainment, and Sports? And chapter 43, Will Our Dreams Be Fulfilled and Missed Opportunities Regained? So three exciting topics. So let's start with chapter 41, Will Heaven Ever Be Boring? Now, over the past 14 weeks, we've been learning pretty much what heaven will pretty much be like. We looked at a lot of topics over that span of time, but one thing we haven't spent a lot of time doing yet is what we're going to do in heaven when we get there. We know it's going to be good, but what will we actually do when we get there? And the short answer is a lot. If you ever wondered that heaven might be boring in any way, I trust these three chapters will convince you otherwise. I know it did with me. Today, there's a lot of misconception out there about heaven. Some people read cartoons instead of the Bible and think we're angels sitting on clouds playing harps. Others think heaven will be a long, boring church service that goes 24/7. Still others believe they'd be happier in hell with their friends. They foolishly think I'd rather be in hell with my friends than in heaven with a bunch of strangers. Good. I don't know where that mindset is, but the great science fiction writer, Isaac Asimov, writes, I don't believe in an afterlife, so I don't have to spend my whole life fearing hell or fearing heaven even more. But whatever the tortures of hell, I think the boredom of heaven would be even worse. Interesting. Heaven is going to be far from boring. It's going to be full of action and activity. Heaven is not just eternal life, it's going to be eternal living. Think of your absolute best days here on earth, the ones that you'd wish would go on forever and ever. That's what heaven's going to be like. You'll live, you'll breathe, worship, work, and fellowship, and enjoy all the good things of God's new heaven and new earth in your new resurrection body, which will be specially designed to take advantage of all the new heaven and new earth has to offer. In other words, heaven is going to be a blast. We're not just going to be sitting around. There'll be plenty of things to do. Randy lists so many activities in his book that I just cannot cover them all in 20 or 30 minutes. So I selected what I feel are some of the key or important activities that we'll be involved in. So let's talk about them for a few minutes. First, we're going to worship. Revelation 7, verses 9 through 10 says this. After this, I looked, and they were there, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne in front of the Lamb. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Heaven is a place of worship. We learn from Scripture that there is no temple in heaven because all of heaven is a temple. All of heaven is filled with the glory and the presence of God, and we will worship him there in the beauty of his holiness. The very first question of the Westminster Shorter Catechism asks, what is the chief end of man? And the answer is, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Secondly, we're going to fellowship. We read about this in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 22 through 23. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect. I like what David Jeremiah says about heaven in his book, Answers to Your Questions About Heaven. Quote, in heaven, we'll have fellowship like never before. Imagine having the unlimited opportunity to fellowship with people from all ages of history, even people we've only read about in books. We'll also be able to fellowship with our Lord in a way that we cannot possibly comprehend. Our Savior will be our personal friend, and we will have fellowship with him forever and ever. Hallelujah. Thirdly, we will serve in heaven. We read in Revelation 7:15, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And again in Revelation 22:3, no longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. God is not only worthy of our worship, he's also worthy to be served. And if we're to serve God in heaven, then that must mean God has some tasks prepared for us to do. We read in Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Fourthly, we will work. We read this about the new heavens and the new earth in Isaiah 65:21-23. They will build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. My chosen ones will long enjoy the works of their hands. They will not toil in vain, for they will be a people blessed by the Lord. Our work, fellas, is not over when we leave this world. And that's a good thing. We were created to work and fulfillment in our work. Remember in the book of Genesis, God's command to work, it came before the curse for sin. Right now, we don't always enjoy work because God put a curse on work and turned it into toil and labor. But Isaiah 65:23 says we will no longer toil in vain. And Revelation 22:3 says no longer will there be any curse. Author N.T. Wright writes in his book, Surprised by Hope, quote, there will be work to do and we shall relish doing it. All the skills and talents we have put to God's service in this present life, and perhaps too the interests and likings we gave up because they conflicted with our vocation, will be enhanced and ennobled and given back to us to be exercised to his glory. Amazing. Will our work be engaging? Absolutely. In heaven, I believe our work, the work that we're given will be perfectly aligned to the things that we are good at. I also believe they will have plenty of motivation to do well at whatever we're given. That means our work will directly contribute to something that is important to God, or our work will directly affect our own circumstances. Alcorn tells us that, quote, work in heaven won't be frustrating or fruitless. Instead, it will involve lasting accomplishment, unhindered by decay and fatigue, enhanced by unlimited resources. We'll approach our work with the enthusiasm we bring to our favorite sport or hobby. We will work and then we will rest. Isaiah 57:2 says, those who walk uprightly enter into peace. They find rest as they lie in death. We read in Revelation 14:13, then I heard a voice from heaven say, write this down, because blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them. So yes, there will be work in heaven, but there will also be rest. You know, we never seem to get it right down here on earth. We either work too hard and don't take enough time for rest, or we lounge around and get so much rest that we don't feel fulfilled in our work. But we will find the perfect balance when we get to heaven. And in heaven, our work will be meaningful and fulfilling, and our rest will be sweet. We will rule and reign. In Genesis 1:28, we read about the first man and woman. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Men and women were originally created to rule and reign over the old earth. In heaven, we will rule and reign with Christ over the new heaven and the new earth. For example, Jesus says in Revelation 3:21, to him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne. Revelation 5:10 says this about believers. You have made them to be a kingdom of priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. Again, we read in Revelation 22, verses 4-5. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and they will reign forever and ever. This means we will have new responsibilities in heaven. Some of those responsibilities will be a direct result of how we serve God in this life. Anthony Hokema authored an article for Christianity Today called Heaven, Not Just an Eternal Day Off. He has some wonderful reflections in this article on how we will rule and reign over this new earth, which are well worth repeating. Okama writes, quote, "In the beginning, man was given the so-called cultural mandate, the command to rule over the earth and to develop a God-glorifying culture. Because of man's fall into sin, that cultural mandate has never been carried out the way God intended. Only on the new earth will it be perfectly and sinlessly fulfilled. Only then shall we be able to rule the earth properly. And lastly, we will learn. We will experience an eternity of discovery. I love the idea that we'll spend endless amounts of time in heaven learning about God and his creation, about his attributes and his grace, and about the ways he participated in our lives, even when we didn't even know he was there. I had personally have held some kind of belief that when we get to heaven, part of us being made flawless meant that we would no longer have need to learn everything. I thought maybe we would know everything God needs. God knows everything. However, to say that we will know everything as God knows everything once we get to heaven would be an extravagant overstatement. Ephesians 2, 6 through 7 says the following, "And God raised us up with Christ and has seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus." Alcorn points out that this passage uses past tense to talk about seating us with Christ, but uses continual future tense to talk about Christ showing us the incomparable riches of grace. Christ will continually reveal to us the things of heaven, breaking up these extremely complex mysteries into finite bits of understandable knowledge. This, gentlemen, is learning. And it won't be a negative experience, like so many people have memories of here on the present earth. We'll learn about things that actually interest us and things that we've always wanted to know. And so heaven will be a place of amazing and new activity. We will not just be up there in the clouds. We'll be down here in the dirt, loving every minute of it. As author Michael Whitmer says in his book, Heaven is a Place on Earth, quote, "When we leave this world, it's just the first leg of a round-trip journey. We are coming back. When Christ returns to earth, he'll bring us back with him. And there will be plenty to do in the new heavens and the new earth," quote, unquote. How will we express our creativity? Even under the curse, humanity has been able to produce some extremely creative works. Think about the pyramids of Egypt, the works of art hung in the museums all over the world, and some of the pieces of music, plays, and movies we've created that are beautiful, moving, and entertaining. If we're able to accomplish these things on this cursed earth, what more will we be able to accomplish on the new earth, where our resources will be made new and will be lavished upon us by our loving God, and our time will be absolutely unlimited? I believe much of the technology we have today is a gift directly from God. The advances in medicine, the size of our networks, and the complexity of our microprocessors are just small examples of the things we've accomplished in the last 100 years or less. These accomplishments has given us great power. And to quote Spider-Man's uncle, "With great power comes great responsibility." We're called to use these gifts in ways that glorify God. But the important thing about these gifts and this calling is that God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. That means that God isn't going to take it back when this earth passes away and the new earth is put in its place. We'll continue on much the same way as we are now with many of the same industries we have now, using much of the same technology we have now, expressing even more creativity than we do now. And we'll be engaged throughout it all. I agree with Anthony Hokema when he says, "The possibilities that now arise before us boggle the mind. Will there be better Beethovens on the new earth, as one author suggested? Shall we then see better Rembrandts, better Raphaels, better Constables? Shall we read better poetry, better drama, and better prose? Will scientists continue to advance technological achievement? Will geologists continue to dig out the treasures of the earth? And will architects continue to build imposing and attractive structures?" Will there be exciting new adventures in space travel? Yeah. Beam me up, Yahweh. Shall we perhaps be able to explore new Paralandras? We don't know, but we do know that human dominion over nature will be perfect. Our culture will glorify God in ways that surpass our most fantastic dreams, unquote. Chapter 42, will there be arts, entertainment, and sports? Will there be sports? I enjoy sports, watching them, playing them. I enjoy playing baseball, tennis, and hiking. And the thought of getting to do this in heaven excites me a little bit. People may argue that there can't be sports in heaven because there can't be losers. They say that competition would bring sadness, anger, or spite out of people. Alcorn doesn't think so, and neither do I. Those emotions won't be present in heaven, right? I think that when we get to heaven, we'll see all things from a new perspective, and playing sports will be enjoyable regardless of winning or losing. Another point brought up by Alcorn is the fact that there will be music in heaven. In Revelation 14, verses 2 through 3, when speaking of the 144,000 Jews that had been redeemed, it says, "And I heard a sound from heaven, like the roar of rushing waters, and like a loud peal of thunder. The sound I heard was like that of harpists playing their harps. And they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders." And Revelation 15, verses 2 through 3 tells us of those in heaven who held harps given them by God and sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. We know from the Apostle John's testimony that there will be singing and music played in heaven. And I believe it'll be another area we'll take joy in when we get there. Will we tell stories? One last area from chapter 42 I'll talk about today is that of telling stories. The people throughout biblical times, especially Old Testament times, relied on storytelling to relay historical details, since most couldn't read or write. When I think about how much fun it must have been gathering around to hear the stories of ancestors in their pasts, it brings fond memories back to me of all the fishing trips I've taken, where we stayed overnight or for duration of time, where at the end of the day, we all gathered around the campfire after our meal and we exchanged our fishing tales and our stories. It is better that we can write in the sense that, it makes me a little sad that we're so orientated toward writing today. It's better that we can write. In the sense that facts are better preserved. But I do think we've lost some of the social aspects that they had back when they were related to storytelling. When we get to heaven, I believe we'll still be able to read and write, but I think there will also be a lot of storytelling. We'll be able to hear firsthand accounts of stories that we've always loved from the Bible, as well as stories that we never knew about, perhaps even in the backgrounds of our own lives. Chapter 43. Will our dreams be fulfilled and missed opportunities regained? Are we past our peaks? Every professional athlete goes through that phase in their career, the time when they are no longer capable of playing at the professional level, unless you're Brett Favre, of course. I wonder sometimes if these athletes ever look back to their lives and wish they could return to their glory days. I wonder if they look to their past and think, my best years are behind me, and I have nothing to look forward to. I hope they don't, because that would be pretty depressing. But today's study addresses this very topic, that unless you have Jesus as your savior, when you get older, this will be your exact line of thinking. Your best days will be in your past. But for those of us in Christ, every day on this earth is just leading us closer to our peak, our renewed, resurrected bodies on the new earth. I want to point out some things that are true. If you look at the life at life from the perspective that you have yet to reach your peak, if the best part of your life is yet to come, then there's no need to be disappointed about unfulfilled dreams. If you weren't able to do things on this earth that you wanted to do because of lack of money, time, health, or whatever else, those resources will be unlimited in heaven. You'll still get to do those things, and your dreams will have the potential to be fulfilled. When people feel the resources are limited, they often make poor choices. If my time is limited, I might choose to do something that is self-pleasing now, thinking that I might never again get an opportunity. But when we have an eternity and having to experience things, we're more likely to pass up on those pleasures now, which is oftentimes the best choice to make. So what will we do in heaven? Will we just sit around on clouds playing harps all day? Absolutely not. We will worship, we will fellowship, we will serve, we will work, we will rest, we will reign and rule, and we will learn. We will not be bored. We will not hurt or be hurt, hunger or thirst, mourn or cry, sing or die. Heaven is a perfect place, designed for perfect people. Sin and all its consequences will be completely removed. We will enjoy all of the good things God intended and none of the dreadful things that resulted from sin. After all, we'll have all of eternity to do them. Amen and amen.
Thank you.